Volker is going to present the status of the design team we have on overload control.
Okay, so next slide. So this is basically the status of the design team. We have the team members haven't really changed since the last meeting, so it's the same group of people. We have four independent simulation tools. There's one from AT&T, one from Bell Labs, from us, there's Columbia, and Sonus Networks has one. And we have bi-weekly conference calls. All right. We had submitted a draft that talks about the design, actually the models and that we were using and some of the design considerations. That's been submitted as a SIPPING working group item that was adopted at the last ITF meeting. And I've received a couple of comments on the draft, so they're, these are the changes that we made since the last meeting. Basically, I mean, there are lots of clarifications throughout the text. There was one section that kind of mixed the problem description and some of the implicit overload control discussion, so I've split them out in two separate sections. And I've added another possible overload control mechanism that's overload signal-based overload control. I'll talk about this in one of the following slides. That was proposed by Sonus, and we've included that in the simulations. Okay, slide. So this draft is basically, I think the document is pretty much stable. I mean, it covers the design choices and the models that were used by the design team. One of the questions for this draft, or one of the general questions, is actually what are we going to do with the results that the design team is creating? Are we putting them in a draft? Are we putting them in this draft? Are we keeping them on the slides? Or are we using papers that have been published? So this is something I'd like to get some feedback from the working group.
Right. I hate to ask this question, but how many people have read this document? Okay, great. A fair number. Okay. So, I mean, this would be an item upon which we want feedback. What we want to do with this document, I'm jumping ahead for you,
okay,
is go ahead after update PAI review, is go ahead and start. I don't want to jump right to working group last call. We need to do a pre-working group last call review, right? See how stable people think this is. And, you know, then do working group last call. In the same time, I think it's a good idea to start looking at solution options so that we don't linger. And we're kind of going to make a slight change from what we did in the past because we dumped something straight over the wall to SIP, and that didn't work so well. 199 is a good example where we talked about it. Everybody was cool with working on the solution. We tossed it over the wall and didn't go very well. So we want to spend a little bit more time in this working group exploring the solution so by the time we give SIP a work item, they're comfortable with it. And we're doing this to help you, Keith.
Keith Drage, I don't agree with you on that as SIP working group chair. That is not the problem with 199.
Anyways, let's not go there then. Sorry for mentioning it. Okay, so again, unless anybody has any comments right now at the mic, he's going to go over more of the simulation results, okay?
Okay. All right, next slide. So this is just a recap on what the feedback types or the mechanisms that we've been looking into. I mean, there's rate-based overload control. The idea is basically a server sends back, I do not want to receive more than X requests per second. Loss-based overload control, their server says, this is all to the upstream neighbor, please reduce the load by X percent. For a window-based overload control mechanism, the feedback is please do not send more than X requests until you hear back from me. And this is a new thing that we've been looking into was the overload signal-based overload control there. The feedback is basically, I'm overloaded. That can be a 503 response without a retry after header. And then the upstream neighbor increases load and then increases load again until it only sees very few or none of those overload signals coming back. Okay, so these are some of the simulation results. We've used our standard topologies topology for simulations that we've been using for a while. This topology has five edge proxies and two core proxies. In this set of simulations, we've varied basically we looked at different network conditions. So we've varied the network delay from 0 to 2 seconds, and we've varied the network loss from 0 to 50%. The overall capacity of our service, assuming everything goes well, is 142 calls per second. And so we've tried to load this network with different levels of load. First of all, we've started with 140 calls per second, which I believe is about 80% load on these servers. And then we went into scenarios where we had overload, 500 calls per second and 1,000 calls per second. And since we don't have any overload control mechanism here, basically, I mean, what's expected is that the 500 and 1,000 calls per second, these are the yellow and black line. I mean, we see a collapse, and that's what we expected. We also see a degradation in good put as we increase link delay and message loss, and that's also kind of expected. And I have a little bit more in this on the next slide.
Yes, next.
Yeah. So this is kind of, we looked into what's kind of the upper bound that we can expect if we have, that's specific for the topology that we've looked into. But this is kind of, if we have two edge servers and one core server in the middle, so what can we expect in terms of throughput if we let this thing work at its maximum capacity. The reason why we're seeing a decrease in delay here is simply because if you increase the network delay at one point, you'll trigger retransmissions even before your messages get to the other end. So basically, you'll see a retransmission coming in, or a retransmission is triggered before a message is received. And so, for example, in the first, what happens in a delay graph, in the first kind of the first degradation is basically there's we have a delay of 125 milliseconds. So your round trip delay is exactly 250 milliseconds, and so you see the first retransmission of the 200 OK ACK, and so then your message count increases, and so you have more messages per call, and for that reason, the throughput goes down. And I mean, similar things, or something similar happens if we introduce losses. That means we simply have more messages that the servers need to process to get the calls through, and for that reason, we see the degradation. Next slide. Oh, yeah. So this is then we ran the simulations with the different overload control mechanisms. They're all, I mean, the results here are all from different simulators. So. I mean, they may vary a little bit. But basically, what we can see here is that with these overload control mechanisms, the good put that we're getting in this network is tracking the good put that we're getting in underload condition. That's pretty much what we want. We want all those curves to track each other. And that's pretty much happening. It's happening in rate-based, loss-based. And next slide. And it's happening in the window-based and the overload signal-based. So basically from these results, what we can say is that all those mechanisms work reasonably well if we look at steadies. I mean, these are all steady-state simulations. So they all work reasonably well under steady-state conditions, and there are actually no big differences between the different mechanisms that we've looked into. Next slide. Okay, so this is essentially the conclusion that we have so far. I mean, the performance of all overload control mechanisms that we looked into is very similar, and varying network conditions didn't reveal significant differences between them. So there are a couple of next steps that the design team wants to take. We want to look at additional scenarios, and I think what's in particular important is to look at transient simulations, where we're looking into how the dynamic behavior of overload control, how do these mechanisms transition in and out of overload control, what's the impact of a certain load peak, things like that, and we want to look a little bit into how these mechanisms can achieve certain fairness policies. Okay, next slide. And the design team has produced a couple of papers that has some of these results.
Okay, so I want to go ahead and get a little bit of focus here. So the second half of what Volker talked about was all the models, the simulations, and I recognize that this group is probably not the target audience for this. You know, within Nortel, there's systems engineers that look at all this stuff. The development people that I know don't care about this. All they want to know is whether they do a header, subscribe, notify. I don't know if that's the same with everybody. So what I'll do is highlight when we go through the document review, get feedback as far as what people would like us to do with the simulation results. And again, this design team, Volker may be one of the only people from that design team that's here. Okay, there are people back in-house that spend time doing these simulations. So that's the feedback I'll ask for on the list when people review the other document. Alrighty? Okay, thanks, Volker.
Okay.
Okay. Martin?